Our lists are long, even in this strange mess where we live these days, and we want to do it right. We want to be safe, but we want to be able to enjoy the season. We've got work to do to put right what has gone wrong, to heal what is broken, to mend the relationships, and to prepare for the company that will come.
Matthew reminds us that an angel appears to Joseph. He had his own plan, but God had another. The angel tells Joseph and us to not fear, offering peace in the midst of uncertainty. When God comes in, then peace is to be found. But we need to be ready for God to show up anytime and anywhere.
So we light these candles as a sign of our faith that the God we worship is not far from us, and that we can clear the way for that God to come and dwell with us. We light these candles feeling the peace that God is coming home.
O come, Emmanuel.
On this third Sunday in Advent, we light the candle of peace.
Good morning and welcome to Broadway United Methodist Church. I am so excited to be with all of you this morning. I welcome you into our home today as we are currently in isolation because Aaron and I both tested positive for COVID-19 this past week. So we will be spending some time at home, but we hope that you are well and we will get to see you soon. Just as a reminder, we are online today, and hopefully we will know more about the coming Sundays after our board meeting tomorrow night. We will be notifying you of that decision via email. As we come into this third Sunday in Advent, we continue our series called Home for Christmas. And as you can see right now, we are definitely home for Christmas. This is reminding me of those first few weeks in the beginning of the pandemic when we were recording all of our worship services from Jacob's iPhone in the sanctuary. So we're kind of cycling back to those beginning stages today. As we look at this series, the song I'll Be Home for Christmas offers us these lyrics. The writer describes this beautiful scene of Christmas, and he says, I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents by the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. And so the writer is imagining this beautiful Christmas scene full of snow and mistletoe and presents wrapped and all the beautiful things that we imagine at Christmas time. But he ends it and saying, I'll be home even if it's just in my dreams. In October of 2017, Time Magazine published an article about the importance of sleep. And I don't know about you, but I find sleep extremely important. I tend to try to get as much of it as possible. Although with a new baby, sometimes that's not always the easiest thing. But sleep's important, right? It fuels our day. It offers renewal. We spend all kinds of money trying to make sure that we have the best sleep possible. We buy great mattresses. We purchase blackout curtains for our room. We even get alarms clocked that slowly wake us up or install sleep apps on our phone. But we want to make sure that we're getting the best sleep we can so that we're as healthy as we possibly can. But if you read through this article, that wasn't what they were talking about. One of the things that you kind of conclude when you finish the article is that sleep is so important because it's when we dream. Friends, our dreams are important. And the science shows that. According to the research in an article that was published in the Journal of Neuroscience, they found that people who spent more time in REM sleep, which is the phase where our dreams happen, that we have lower fear-related dream activity when given mild electric shocks the next day. Kind of an interesting study. So what exactly happens when we dream? Well, the science is divided. Some say it's just random rapid firing of neurons in our brain, but others think it's more like data being dumped in our minds, that it helps us separate important memories from non-important ones. It's a way for us to prepare for challenges and go through different scenarios in our heads. It's almost like a second gut, where we gather all the information for the day and we filter it all out. And that's how we figure out maybe what's best for us or what we're supposed to do. Dreams help us process, they give us new insight. And according to scripture, that might just be a place where God shows up. Our text for this morning is from Matthew's gospel. And in the very beginning of his text, he opens with this dream that Joseph has where an angel appears and speaks to him. So if you're if you have your Bible with me, I invite you to grab that. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version this morning. So if you want to pick that up, we will be reading from Matthew's gospel in the first chapter. And I'm going to be skipping over the genealogy of Jesus and moving into verse 18. If you're in the NRSV, the heading there is the birth of Jesus the Messiah. I think if you're in the NIV, it says something like Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. So that's where we are this morning. It is our tradition in our church to stand during the gospel reading, although I'm not going to because I don't want to totally mess up my camera angles. But if you're at home, I would invite you to stand if you feel comfortable. Matthew says this. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared and said to him in a dream, Joseph, son of David, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and they named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Matthew begins his gospel in verse 1 by giving this genealogy of Jesus, showing the lineage all the way back to Abraham. It starts off by saying the account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then it says Abraham was the father of Isaac and Isaac the father of Jacob and so on and so forth until we get to King David. And then we get to Joseph. But it's kind of an awkward genealogy here. Instead of it saying, and Joseph, who was born, then had Jesus, or instead of saying Jake or Joseph was the father of Jesus, instead it says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, is called the Messiah. And so there's this kind of strange way in which it ends. And so these next set of verses, the ones that we just read, kind of give us some insight as to why. And we know why, right? Because Mary was a virgin and she had a baby who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, whose name was Jesus. But Joseph was his earthly father. And so in this sequence, we kind of get that explanation as to why. The theologian N.T. Wright, when he's talking about this passage of scripture, he says this. He says, one of my most favorite or my most memorable movies I have seen is the film from a Charles Dickens novel called Little Dorrit. But it's actually two films, he says. They're both very long. They don't really follow in sequence, telling two halves of a story, like chapter one and then chapter two, or like a prequel or and a sequel. Instead, he says, each film shows a whole drama, but they're from a different point of view. First, we see the action through the eyes of the hero, and then we see the action through the eyes of a heroine. A few of the scenes are identical, he says, but in the second film, we see things that we can't quite see in the first. It's like seeing it with two eyes instead of one. The story of Jesus' birth is recorded much in the same way by two of the gospel writers. We get the same story, but from different eyes. In Luke, we hear the birth story from Mary's eyes, which we're going to look at a little bit next week. But this week, we look at Matthew, and we see it through the eyes of Joseph. Instead of Luke's picture of an excited Galilean girl learning that she's about to give birth to God's Messiah, Matthew shows us a more sober Joseph, discovering that his fiance is pregnant. Today's story of Mary and Joseph, they really kind of disrupt these comfortable social expectations and conventions that we have, especially about Christmas. If you think about what Christmas means to you and what your most sacred traditions are, 2020 has really kind of disrupted those. It's made it different. We have to stay home. We have to stay apart. We can't gather in the same ways that we used to. We can't celebrate in the same ways that we always have. And if you look at the American culture and the media and magazines and Hallmark cards and commercial ads, we see these images and expectations that show us this perfect Christmas. And so in the week before Christmas, a lot of us invest a great deal of time and energy trying to achieve this ideal Christmas scene. But Mary and Joseph's story is far from perfect. As we come in to this story from Matthew, we see a guy who's in turmoil, who's struggling. It says, before they lived together, Mary found out that she was pregnant with the Holy Spirit, right? It says her husband, Joseph, he was a righteous man, but he was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, so he planned to dismiss her quietly. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been married, you've definitely probably fought with your spouse. I don't know that you've ever considered divorce or if you ever have divorced. But whenever you start to feel those struggles of what should I do? Is this the person that I want to continue to move forward in life with? Those are gut-wrenching, hard decisions. And so I can't imagine Joseph just said, oh, she's pregnant, see you later. I'm sure this was a decision that he struggled with for a long time. And so he finally comes to the conclusion that, well, she's pregnant. Well, she didn't get pregnant from me. So that means she must have committed adultery, which is a sin in the eyes of God. And so because I'm a righteous man, it is my duty, it is my legal duty to divorce her. And maybe out of kindness, maybe regret, maybe it was because he loved her, he decided that instead of the usual way, which would have involved public disgrace, he decided to do it quietly and not shame her. He realizes that things are not going according to his plan. Unexpected things happen all the time. And we're not at peace. We struggle. We try to figure out what we're called to do. And in this story, God decides to show up and tell Joseph to do something new and different. It says, when he had resolved to do this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. Joseph gets this amazing and wonderful call from God. And as most often happens, the angel appears and says, Joseph, do not be afraid, right? Because when angels appear, people are often startled because I don't know about you, but angels don't regularly appear in my daily life. I would be forced to be a little frightened. But the angel says, do not fear. Friends, God's call can be scary. It can make us uncomfortable. It can call us to do things that are outside of social norms and rules and regulations and maybe even law. But when God comes in and calls us, that's what causes us to not be afraid. God says, don't be afraid of the call I have on your life. I have this beautiful and wonderful message for you. And this was a message for Joseph that when we look at the genealogy was clearly one that was set up for him generations and generations before he was born, because he's from that lineage of Abraham. And it's so imperative, right, that Jesus is tied to that. It's that messianic expectation, that fruition of scripture coming to life, the fulfillment of the prophecy that the Savior would come from this line. So Joseph's call came about from the very, very beginning of time before he was even born. Friends, I believe that God has a plan for all of us. A plan that we don't know about yet, or maybe we do and maybe we're ignoring it, or maybe we've heard it and we're living it out. But God has a plan for us. And for Joseph, that plan was to be the father of this new baby that they were to name Jesus, because he was going to save the people from their sins. He was going to save you and me and everyone that we know and love. And maybe even those we don't know and love, right, too. But this message came to Joseph in a dream, because he'd been struggling, he'd been trying to figure it out. And so he's wrestling with all of these thoughts, trying to decide, trying to discern what to do next. And God shows up through an angel and tells him not to leave his wife and instead stay with her and have this son. As I think about this Christmas season, I'm wondering, what do we dream about? Now, for some of us, it may mean I just dream of having a normal Christmas. I dream of life being back to the way it was. but maybe God calls us to dream of something bigger. Maybe something not normal. Maybe something that's not accepted by society. Maybe it's a disruption to the parts of the world that are unjust. Because Jesus came to save us from our sins. Jesus came not to just save some of us, but all of us. Jesus came to save the world from the places of hurt, from places of harm, from oppression. Jesus taught us a new way to live. One that was focused on God's reign and God's kingdom, not of human power. It's a gospel of mercy and compassion and grace. Jesus taught us all sorts of things, and we're called to follow that. When the angel appears to Joseph, he's in turmoil. He doesn't know what he's going to do. Says he's resolved and he's made this decision, but I'm not entirely sure he's totally happy with it, right? Feels like he has to do it. But when the angel comes, he's finally at peace. You know, following God isn't easy. It might make us uncomfortable. We might not know what's going to happen next. It may cause some anxiety and worry. But ultimately, when we say yes to who God is and who God is calling us to be, that's where we'll find peace. And hopefully, it's not only in our dreams. Thank you again so much for joining us this morning. I hope you enjoy the rest of our worship service today. I hear there is the Broadway singers are going to be offering some music for us. So I hope you enjoy that. Let's close together in prayer. Holy God, I give you thanks for this story in Matthew's gospel, where God comes in a new and unique way and disrupts all that we think and all that we know to call us to do something unique and different. Something that's outside social expectation, something that's outside our own opinions and our own beliefs. But God, it raises us up to believe in the fullness of your gospel. God, I thank you for all of those who have gathered with us this morning, and I pray for our Christmas season that, God, you would show up and you would offer us peace. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Amen.